Blog Talk Radio.
God can, He can move mountains, He can take us around Him, stop the wind from blowing, stop the thunder from rolling, He can do what no other God can. God met the woman at the well one day, and He told her everything she's done. He touched her so, oh, He made her whole, and from her heart she cried, God can, He can move mountains, He can take us around Him, stop the wind from blowing, stop the thunder from rolling, He can do what no other God can. God met the woman at the well one day, and He told her everything she's done. He touched her so, oh, He made her whole, and from her heart she cried, God can, He can move mountains, He can take us around Him, stop the wind from blowing, stop the thunder from rolling, He can do what no other God can. He can do what no other God can. He can do what no other God can. God met the woman at the well one day, and He told her everything she's done. He touched her so, oh, He made her whole, and from her heart she cried, God can, He can move mountains, He can take us around Him, stop the wind from blowing, stop the thunder from rolling, He can do what no other God can. He can do what no other God can. He can do what no other God can. Praise the Lord. Where did the Lord meet you at? He met the woman at the well, and after that, they had that touch from Him. Glory to God. And she drunk the water, glory to God, of the spiritual water, and evangelized. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What are you drinking? What are you doing? How close are you to Him? How much are you doing for Him? We bless the Lord. We welcome you to the Blog Talk Radio Divine Connection. Praise the Lord. And as we pray, glory to God, that God's will be done in all that we do, as we come together to pray and intercede and on the behalf of others, those that are in darkness, those that are in the light but may be struggling, those that are in prison, spiritually or naturally, those that are in the government, our president, all glory to God, those that are suffering in their bodies or going through ailments or grieving or whatever, as we intercede, those that are in, glory to God, whatever circumstances, the power of prayer with faith and obedience, we can see the miraculous moving in Jesus' name. Bless the Lord. And every second and fourth Sunday, we do have the breaking of bread of life. And tonight, we thank God that we have two dynamic young women, the next generation after us, glory to God, that will speak with the power and authority that God has placed in them. We've been praying all month for coming up against any satanic and demonic forces that will anything to try to sidetrack them or come up against. So no matter what it looks like, we have the faith to know, glory to God, God is going to move through them. And I pray that they stand on the word and let God bless and shift them. As Pastor was saying, there's a shift tonight. I mean, a shift in the atmosphere for the believers. That's the ones that are being obedient to God. But we also know, like she said, there's a shift even, glory to God, a blessing, glory after the night in these young women. So I'm thanking the Lord. We didn't get to have this meeting last year with so much that God was doing in October and November and even in December, that God had said that they will have them to come in the first of the year. So I'm looking forward to a miraculous, marvelous, wonderful move of God, that His Spirit will go over to God, will bless and shift them to wherever they need to be. So I just pray they just rest in them and just speak whatever God placed in their spirit. I'm excited with anticipation of expectancy. In the name of Jesus, God is an awesome God. We praise God for Minister Ely, Minister Carmelita, Hubbard Ely. We praise God for Prophetess, the evangelist Ely, and we pray God's blessings upon Prophetess Alicia Noom, common leaders in Charlotte, North Carolina. Prophetess Noom is over in Arkansas. And our dear Prophetess Tasha Clifton is down in Sumter, South Carolina. So we thank God for the divine connection because his word goes out all around the land. We can pray and it will reach people in Europe. Glory to God. It will reach people in Africa. It will reach people. Glory to God. In London, all over here in the United States, all glory from California, glory to God, to the East Coast, to New York, wherever prayer can be found. God's word, when it's sent out, it will not come back void. We just thank God for all that he's done and doing. So we just thanking God as we bless these young women tonight with our theme, Consequences versus Blessings, the Do's and the Don'ts. And we're having them to come forth, glory to God, with hearing and faith and obedience. And we know that's something we have to live by daily as to please the Lord. He's not looking for sacrifice. He said obedience is better than sacrifice, and we can't negotiate with him. We have to do it the way he says. We thank God he's merciful and thank God for his grace. But in it all, at the end of the day, he's still saying, obey. Bless the Lord. I praise God again. Glory to God. For what he's doing and has done, we're going to go over to God, pray, and then we're going to get our scripture reading out, and we're going to have a little switch because at first it was going to be Prophetess Noom first, but we're going to go ahead and have Evangelist Ely come forth, and then we'll have Prophetess Noom, and then Prophetess Clifton. Praise the Lord. We thank God. Glory to God. Father, I love you and I appreciate you tonight. I adore you and I glorify you. You are such an awesome God. There is none like you. To God be the glory. God, in your presence is fullness of joy. As we look unto the hills, what cometh our help, we realize that our help cometh from the Lord. We thank God, glory to God, for his mercy and his grace. Every day, thank God even for his anointing that destroys yoke. Thank God for the power of forgiveness. God, because Jesus, glory to God, came on the scene, glory to God, to redeem us back to the Father. All the suffering and agony he went through on our behalf, help us to realize he was the ultimate sacrifice. God, help us to know that, glory to God, we are to be a sacrifice unto him, glory to God, which is our reasonable service, giving our lives and, glory to God, submitting ourselves and our gifts and talents and whatever he's given us to him. God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you search our hearts. If you find anything that's in our lives that's not pleasing to your sight, forgive us in the name of Jesus. We praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Glory to God. Then we have to recognize in Deuteronomy 28, God tells us that we are blessed going in and blessed coming out. Hallelujah. But we have to know in order to eat the good of the land, be a blessing, we have to be obedient to as well. There are conditions. We want to be, glory to God, covenant keepers, not covenant breakers. God, we thank you, glory to God, that we are healed by your stripes according to Jesus. And 1 Peter 2:14 is already done in the name of Jesus. No matter what, glory to God, we are afflicted by or going through or challenged with, God says in John 10:10 that the thief is the one that came to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came to give life and life more abundant. So we thank you for that abundant life. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper in every tongue that rises up against in judgment that we shall condemn. We thank you, Lord, for the heritage, glory to God, we have in Christ Jesus. We ask you to touch every vessel, glory to God, here tonight on the phone, and glory to God, and even their families, that you will bless and minister and move. Glory to God, we pray, glory to God, for Mother McCormick family. We pray that you would touch and minister and comfort and encourage them too as well. We pray, glory to God, as we go forward tonight, God, that you will move, glory to God, by your power through these vessels, glory to God, that you will use them for your glory. Keep them covered under the blood and their families and loved ones. We are thanking you, Lord God, for opening our spirits, opening our ears, that we may hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. You so those that have an ear, let him hear. But when we hear, let us obey. Be hearers and doers. God, you're so wonderful. Thank you for the food, the clothing, the shelter. Help us not to take nothing for granted. In this hour, in this time of the thief that comes over to God and robbing and doing all, God, help us to be on our post, to do what you called us to do. So we just thank you. We honor you. And as glory to God, we thank you for the vessels that have already come online. Glory to God. So we pray that the vessels, glory to God, that are speaking already ready and ready to go out But my spirit man is not to let the Lord say different. It's like let them, glory to God, just go one after the other. God, we thank God for the introduction. The introduction, glory to God, is that they are blood washed, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, anointed, glory to God, to carry out this assignment. So we are believing you, glory to God, as they come forth tonight one after the other, that, God, they will just flow with whatever God is saying. We're thanking you, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that there'll be no interruptions on this, on the system, on the phones, the lines, or whatever. We just thank you in Jesus' name. God, you are so wonderful. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. Thank you, Lord God. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We thank you. Glory to God for the power of prayer. And glory to God, your anointing. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, bless the Lord. Oh, we're not going to make it all the way to 7:15, but I think we have enough. Glory to God. I think they're already ready. So we have enough people on the line. We can go on forward with the message tonight. So let's just read the scripture and leave the rest to the vessels that God has blessed to speak tonight. Amen. Oh, gosh. Okay, we're in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, starting at the 5th verse. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Ye all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and forever. And that 10th verse is even something that the Lord has blessed for Evangelist Healy even tonight. Praise the Lord. And we will share those scriptures a little bit later with all of the young ladies that God has for them. At this time, we're going to prepare ourselves, glory to God, for our first speaker. And as I was saying, they're already blood washed, and God has already blessed and anointed them. So we thank God that this first vessel, glory to God, as well as the second vessel, is anointed, glory to God, that's from God and also a part of my loins. And I thank God for both of them. And we just want to let them, glory to God, have free reign. And glory to God, I'm not going to have longer as I want the Spirit of the Lord to introduce them tonight, each one. Amen. So at this time, we're going to have none other than our own, oh Lord, yeah, Minister Evangelist Carmelita Hubbard Ely. Praise God. Oh, the line didn't open. Let me try it again.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Hello? So it's open now. Yes.
Okay. Good evening. To God be the glory and all things give thanks. I just thank God for he is a awesome and a mighty God. I don't expect to be for you long, but I definitely give honor where honor is due. First and foremost, to God be the glory, to honor Pastor Hubbard, to all the ministers of the gospel who have to speak tonight, Prophetess Anum, Prophetess Clifton, every pastor and leader and lay member on the line. I give honor to my pastor on the line or in her absence, Pastor Overseer Dorothy A. McGuire. And I give honor to my family, my husband standing by my side in all things. Eugene Brian Ely, and my daughter, who is actually officially a graduate as of this past Thursday, Imani Hannah McClure Hubbard, which I am very proud of. So I'm going to say a word of prayer. Said again, my preaching style or teaching style is, you know, everybody has their own thing. And tonight I want this to be a light conversation. And this word is definitely, I would say, a lot of things near and dear. I'm going to focus on what God gave me for people in the Bible and just us talk tonight about what this word is, the titles that's been presented and what God has to say in his word. So if all, wherever you may be listening to this word, if you would take a moment to listen to a word of prayer, and then we will go in to this word. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come humbly before you right now, first and foremost, for asking you to forgive me for anything displeasing your sight, word, deed, or thought, anything that could possibly hinder this prayer tonight, hinder this word. God, I come and asking you, God, that you bless this word, that you decrease me, that you may get the glory in everything that's being said for myself and all those that follow. And God, we just thank you and praise you for all that you're doing in this season and this hour. There's so much going on in our world, our life, the atmosphere around. But God, we know that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we can ask or think. And so in this time, God, let this word feed me first, God, in everything that you have said and do, God, so that as I pour it out to the people, God, that it may bless me as well as it bless them. I pray for every minister that has to speak tonight, that you bless them, God, that you cover them in their press and their push tonight, God. As we all have some type of press and push tonight, that God, you will get the glory for those reasons. And so, God, we pray for all those that are here, being hearers and doers of the word tonight, that they may receive everything that you have to say. Thank you and honor the woman of God who has opened this line for us to have the opportunity. We pray for Pastor Hubbard, that you bless her for every area of her life, God. We pray for every and everyone that's on this line to hear your word, God, that you encourage them, that they will be encouraged in the midst of everything that's going on in this season, in this hour. We thank you. We glorify you. Bless those who are sick and shut in. Bless the bereaved. Bless those who I know, multiple people right now, even family, dealing with COVID-19. God, I'm asking you, touch their bodies, touch their mind and their spirit, strengthen them, encourage them. God, give them peace in the midst of the storm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we go into this word, we all ask, and I know she normally asks if anybody can either mute their line, can you please do so at this time so there won't be any interference to the word and the vessels that have to speak tonight. But we want to just have a conversation tonight about what God is saying in this season, in this hour, and that his word will manifest. And like I said, there's so many things that I just thank God that God gave me this word. This is a right now word, like literally just within the last hour and a half because of just things going on in my life that I just wasn't sure. But when I say God is faithful, he is true, his word, and it comes to it, if we do or we don't do. But, starting for the main topic was consequences versus blessings. But the key subtitle, if we do or don't do, and for me, my subtitle was to hear God. And I know it has to be God for me to have come before you all humbly to go ahead with the press and all that I have going on, that God's word, his due diligence, we have to be faithful in it, no matter what the circumstances, situations that we're going through. And so coming before y'all, I was listening to T.D. Jakes, and I'm feeling a title that he had, but a subtitle I'm also giving, the courage to change course. So I wanted to read some scriptures for your hearing. This is just, some people are writers and like to put scriptures, so I wanted to do the scriptures first, and I have one scripture that I'll do at the end, but the scriptures that I will be reading for your hearing, and it's actually going to be coming from the modern English version, is James 1, 2, and 3, Matthew 6, 33, Romans 8 and 28, 1 Peter 5 and 10, and Jeremiah 29 and 11. So I'm going to try to go through these scriptures of this reading for your hearing, and we will go into the discussion. James 1, 2 and 3 says, "My brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith develops patience." Matthew 6 and 33 says, But seek first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. Romans 8 and 28 says, "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." 1 Peter 5 and 10 says, "But after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory through Christ Jesus, will restore, support, strengthen, and establish you." And the last scripture, again, I will probably read it again, but I'm going to read it right now, is Jeremiah 29 and 11. "For I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord, plans for peace, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." So again tonight, again, as we have a conversation or a discussion, I would like to just take a few moments about the topic that we have been given tonight, consequences versus blessings, subtitle to if we do or don't do. My subtitle, to hear God. And again, I stole this from TD Jakes, encourage to change the course. I want to ask you a question. Do you have the courage to change course? Definition of change is to make something or someone different, alter, modify. The act of an instance of making or becoming different, to undergo transformation, transition. Another definition I looked up was shift, move or cause to move from one place to another, a slight change in position, direction, or tendency. So I think about the topic versus blessings versus consequences, to hear God, do or don't do. Through the Bible and everyday life, God speaks to us all, and he speaks to us in different ways if we're listening or not. God speaks to us where it may be in a certain time of our life, certain place, season, but he speaks to us. And some of us are blessed that God speaks to us daily. Every day, he has something to say. There are so many decisions that have caused us to be blessed, or it has also caused us to suffer. Consequence. We all had a story growing up that your parents would tell you there's consequences to every action. But when God says it, we seem to act like we don't understand. I'm going to take it all the way very back to the beginning, to Adam and Eve. They were blessed. Oh, my God, we can look at and know the word that how God built the earth and he did everything that he did, but he was blessed to put man on this earth. And then he also gave man a helpmate, but they were blessed beyond measure. Didn't have to want for anything. But God said one thing, do not touch the tree of life. But we know, for all of us who know the story, the devil is slick, he's cunning, and he got in Eve's ear. Now, she had an opportunity to remind herself and to go back and listen to what God had said to her and Adam, not to touch this tree. But she listened to the devil. She listened to what he said what was available to her. But what did God say?
You have to be very careful who we are listening to. Let it be clear, be careful who you're listening to. In all things, be careful. And so with that, she did not listen to God. She listened to the devil, which is at that time the representation of the serpent, which it cost her, not just her, but her decision caused the effect to her husband, her children, and all of us in some sense of a manner. And if I look back, I'm like, come on, Eve, you messed it up for us. Especially, you know, some of us women feel some kind of way with Eve, but that's a whole nother conversation. But again, they receive blessings, but they also end up causing them to cause a consequence. And it will, with our decisions and what we do in life, there's a cause and effect in everything that we do. There's so many people in the Bible that we can talk about tonight or any given moment that God gave them blessings and they had consequences. And I'm going to mention a few of them tonight in this conversation that we're having. One thing we must all respect and know, God wants us to be blessed. He wants the best for us. He has so much in store. He has said it in his word time and time again. He has constantly has spoken to us. He wants us to be blessed. But in the blessing to come, there is a process. And we must be willing to listen, obey, and trust God in this journey and whatever he has asked of us. We have to know in this, there, as I stated before, there's a cause and effect with everything we do. That's in life. There's a decisions that's made from day to day. It's a cause and an effect. Another servant in the Bible that we could talk about was Abraham. God told him he would be the father of many nations. A lot of us know the backstory that Abraham was older in age, and God told him this and saying to him that they didn't have any children, so how am I going to be a father of many nations? And again, I'm paraphrasing, but those who are biblical scholars, you know the details of what I'm saying. So Abraham made a decision. He heard God, and he told his wife. But even also in this, he told his wife, she made a decision to rush God's decision by putting her hand in the pot. And when she did that, she gave her handmaiden to her husband, which I know in 2022 that ain't happening. But, hey, you know, this is what we're talking about in the Bible, rushing God. And he conceived another child, his first child, Ishmael. And the consequences it shifted their life for a time. But God is so gracious because when he promised something and he put a promise in place, he still can make that decision that he's going to make sure that promise and that blessing is going to come forth. And he did. And he blessed Sarah and Abraham with Isaac. Now, again, remind you, God spoke directly to Abraham. And so there was another test that Abraham had to walk through that God told him when he came of age, I need you to sacrifice your son. So again, those who are Bible scholars know what he was told and what the decision he made. And he said he was going to go to this mountain, but me and the lad is going up and we'll be back. And so in that process, before Abraham laid his hands on Isaac, he could have made a choice to hide him. He could have made all these decisions, but he walked this thing out by faith. And he kept his faith and he honored God. So right when he was getting ready to kill his son, God told him, don't do it. And he had a ram in the bush for him. And God blessed him for his obedience. Again, God wants to bless us, but he wants to know, will we be obedient? I've heard many people say in the Bible outside in life and saying, obedience is better than sacrifice. There are others in the Bible that were where they heard God, they were blessed, and those same people also made the decision not to hear God and they had major consequences for not hearing God in those different seasons. Just, again, name calling. Samson. God blessed him beyond measure with the strength like nothing never before, and his strength came through his hair. But he also had a problem with women and the lust of that that cost him his blindness and his strength for a period of time. But God was also, when he asked God to forgive him, and God in his darkest hours restored him and gave him strength back. Even in that moment, he lost his life, but God still restored him to remind him that he was still God in his life. David, a man after God's own heart, blessed beyond measures, again, another one blessed. But he made decisions not listening to God or being out of place and position, and he slept with another man's wife, got her pregnant, then killed that man, and he had to suffer some consequences. Again, Bible scholars, you know. We know a man named Noah that God told him it was going to rain one day. But God told him, build an ark. I want you to take two animals of the land. I mean, a pair of every animal in the land. Build this ark. People thought he was crazy. Again, listen to who's talking. People called him dumb, called him crazy, told him all kind of things. But Noah built the ark as God told him to. Made a decision, and God blessed him where he was able to save his family, and there were so many who lost in that because of consequences of not listening and speaking or doing what they were doing in that time. Another woman of God, Hannah, her consequence was living a life of being a barren woman. Not saying that we know whether deep down reasons of why God had her barren, but to bless her, to show who God is, that's what I would say, because he had to show who he is and what he can do, that God allowed where she pressed before God. She prayed before God, and she pressed until she said, if you give me a son, I will give him back. And the man of God spoke over her life that she would conceive a son. And she did have a son, and she honored God. Her consequence could have been something different, but she was blessed because she was given a child, and she gave him back. And that son became a great man of God. Sometimes the consequence, like I said, can come before the blessing. But do you have the courage to change course or stay on the course that God has asked you to? As I come to a close and wrapping up what God gave me tonight, I think of a man named Jesus who was called and had purpose before he even was born. God knew what he could and would do, but Jesus still came to this earth in flesh. And he could have made any decision he wanted to because, again, he was God's son with all power in his hand. But he made a choice to go through the direction God asked of him through 33 years, to follow, do what God has said, move in the direction God told him to do, which he knew he was born to live, to one day die for us. To live in the process that he did was such a blessing because it made a decision that he blessed us to be able to be forgiven for our sins, to change the course of life, that all the things that happened with Adam and Eve and all in between, when he died, it made a difference for all of our lives. He had the courage to know his purpose for his life and stay the course. So I ask you, to God be the glory tonight, as I close and I bring what God gave me to a close, I say to you, the body of Christ, tonight, you must make the decision to truly have a relationship with God. Know who he is and what he's called for you to do, and what he has said for your life, because God wants each and everyone on this line to be blessed He has a purpose. He has a calling for our lives. He has things that he wanted to do. And we know so many of us, I personally say, when there's times I can see when I've been in position what God has said to do, how I have been blessed. And I can say when God has said things and the consequences of my life of not listening. So I say to you, men and women of God, hear God. Listen. Obey. Be in position to be able to know the difference of the blessings and the consequences, do or don't do. So I encourage you to remember that God has purpose for your life. So the word goes back to Jeremiah 29:11, for your hearing. For I know the plans that I have for you, say the Lord. Plans for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That God has a greater plan for your life. And on this journey, you will be willing to listen and hear God for yourself. God desires to bless you. Be encouraged. Be strengthened. Stay the course. Receive his blessings. Move away from the consequences. Do or don't do is your choice. But have the courage to either change the course or stay on the course that God has given to you. To God be the glory. This is what I have for tonight. Many blessings to each and every one of you. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord for a mighty word. We'll comment later. At this time, we're going to have none other than Prophetess Anoon go over to God of Arkansas, and then we'll have Prophetess Clifton right after her, and her apostle is Pastor Apostle Danny from Sumter. In the meantime, we're just going to follow suit on the word. Go ahead.
Praise God. This is Alicia. I just want to thank and praise God for tonight and this opportunity, and thank God for the word that just came forward. Praying for the sister that is going to come after me. I thank God for Pastor Hubbard and all the ministers of the gospel that are on the line on tonight. I just pray that you pray for me as I get ready to speak on tonight. Let me go ahead and pray real quick. Father God, I thank and I praise you, Lord God, for the word that was just given. I pray, Lord God, and I come before you now, God, asking you to word my mouth in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you humble me. Lord God, that as I humble myself before you, Lord God, that your spirit, God, will rise above in the name of Jesus. Lord God, let it be your word that speaks forth in the name of Jesus. And God, I give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, for, Father, for what you're doing and what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, I'm a spirit, God. Praise God. My word for tonight, Father, help me. The topic for mine is hard times are here again. Keep the faith. So I'm going to basically be reading off of what I've written, and a big part of it is going to come from 1 Kings 19. What God gave me was hard times are here again for us to keep the faith. And my question is, do you trust him? Do you really trust the Lord? Now, we constantly will quote Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's the King James Version. In other words, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurances about what we do not see. That's according to the NIV. Now, while God is always faithful, do we always have faith in him? And if so, my question is, do we stay faithful to him? And as we've talked before, and I've read the description or the meaning of faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Common synonyms of faith are trust, belief, reliance, and dependence. And we as believers, we rely and we trust in God. We believe in him, and we depend on him to keep his promises, right? And then we also look at that in the fact that he's faithful to us because he's a God that cannot lie. Whatever he says he's going to do, he's going to do it. But then the other side of it for me is also as we're keeping our faith in him and knowing that he's faithful, but are we faithful to God? Are we remaining, as the description would be, remaining loyal and steadfast? Some common synonyms of faithful are constant, resolute, staunch, and steadfast. And I like the word resolute because resolute means that it's purposeful, that it's determined. During the hard times, are we determined that we are purposing in our minds, that we're determined that and in our minds and in our spirit that no matter what may come, I am not going to lose faith, that I am going to stay faithful to God. Because, you know, it's easy for us to walk with God when all is well, when all is peaceful. But when the hard times come, will you still be faithful? Look at Peter when Jesus was being tried during that time. Peter was asked if he was one of the disciples. And out of fear, he denied Jesus three times. To the point of the last time, he was cursing and swearing. Matthew 26, 69, and 74 said, and a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear and saying all these things. And he's like, I don't know the man. And it's like, first off, we know when it says your speech betrays you, sometimes you would think, okay, well, is it the accent that he had? Did he have an accent? And I don't believe that he had an accent. I just believe it's because, as we know as believers, when you surrender your life to God and you begin to develop a new walk, a new talk, right? That's what we say, a new walk, a new talk. We have, it says, if any man be a new creature in Christ Jesus, the old man is passed away, and behold, all things become new. So there's a way about us that's different from everyone else when we're really trying to walk upright and do what God has called for us and be who God has called us to be. That light shines, and it shows in us. But then he got so fearful and so afraid that now he wanted to switch back to maybe that old man, going back to some of the ways that he used to be just to get everything off of him. So I'm looking at that, and I'm going, okay, so while all the miracles were taking place, and long as he was surrounded by all of his brethren and he was with Jesus, he was fine. Because we got to remember, it was Peter who cut off the guard's ear. But now that he is all alone, his bravery had been replaced with fear. He had been faced with hard times before, but when it came down to this hard time, when this one hit, sometimes we go through things before. You know, it could have been in our health. It could have been in our finances. It could have been in a relationship. But we can go through that hard time, and it may feel like, oh, my God, this is hard. This is hard, but that's okay. I'm trusting God. I'm going to lean on him. I'm going to I know he's going to bring me through. No matter what the enemy brings at me, I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to falter. But then we get hit with this other situation, and then it almost breaks us. And sometimes it do break us. If we be honest, that's the reason why the Word of God says, I'm married to the backslider. Because at some point, you was walking upright with God. You was on the pathway. And then at some point, you became stagnated. At some point, you began to backslide. And thank God that Jesus said, but I'm married to the backslider. We can always go back and repent and get back right with God. So I was looking at that, and I'm like, wow, he was faced with this one, but he was faced with some hard times before, but then he wavered on this one. And then it made me think about myself. When I left home to go into the military, oh, my God, I was surrounded by all these strong women of God. And I'm telling you, it's like you couldn't get together because by the time y'all all got together, next thing you know, everybody was slaying out on the floor. God was prophesying and healings was taking place. I remember going out with my mom, and she's like, okay, well, we're going to stop by Sister Greenhouse, or we're going to be over here, and Pastor Burton and others are going to meet up, or whatever the case may be. And, oh, my goodness, you talking about hot time church, oh, my goodness. It was just something, and I felt like I was just on top. Like, I had this thing. Like, I got it. I'm strong in the Lord, and I'm fortified. Nothing can come against me because I'm so rooted and grounded in God. And then I got in the military, and I'm out there all by myself. None of these strong women are with me. I look to my left. My mother's not there. I look to my right. Pastor Burton's not there. I look behind me, and some of the other ministers, Prophetess Benjamin wasn't there. And I'm just like, oh, my God. I found myself like the winds of the storm was happening, and I was just leaning left and right and forward and backwards. And that's okay if you're just leaning every now and then and you're still keeping your footing. But I lost. My roots got messed up. Come to find out, they weren't as deep as I thought they were. And so then, even though I had my faith in God, I was no longer faithful to God. And so then, thank God, like Peter, I was able to go back and repent. And I was able to get back with God. Because, you know, Peter, even though he may have cursed and sworn and said, I don't know the man. Immediately, he realized what happened once he heard the crow croak three times, or cough, whatever it's supposed to say. Once that happened, he remembered what Jesus said to him. That word came back. And he was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I repent. And so once he went through that, then he was able to get himself back in line with God and became a powerhouse of an apostle. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I was thinking about that same thing, but in another way, is sometimes we get so angry with the issues of life and the things that take place, you know, even if it's just with people. And sometimes, let's be honest, we get upset with God too. Why, God? Why is this happening? And I think it's okay to ask God question. I mean, how do you say I got an answer if you didn't ask? So I believe it's okay if we ask God, but sometimes we get so caught up on the issue, and we get so caught up we're so focused on the thing that's not happening for us, or the thing that did happen but didn't happen the way that we expected it to happen, that we lose focus on what it is that God is doing or what he's trying to do. Just like in this case with Jesus, he was being tried at the time to be crucified. And Peter, all he saw at that time, I believe, I could be wrong, is that, oh, my God, we're out here by ourselves all alone. And if they catch me, they're going to do me the same way they did doing Jesus. But sometimes in us, going back to today's time, we can get so caught up on things that's taking place and happening, as Minister Ely was saying, that we forget Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then sometimes there's some things that take place and happen, and they're not good. But then God says, but don't worry about it, because I'm going to turn around and take that thing that the enemy meant for evil, and I'm going to turn it around for your good. So, yeah, it looks bad right now. It don't feel right now. But trust me, stay faithful to me, and then you're going to see that how I'm going to work it out and put it and make it work for your good. So, like I said, Peter thankfully repented. He became our powerhouse. And understand, we are human, And sometimes we feel weak. The Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But you have to determine within yourself that you're going to press on, that you're going to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. People can fail you, but God is always faithful. We must keep the faith. Jesus is praying for us that our faith faileth not. He's interceding for us because he knows that sometimes this walk can get hard. He knows that sometimes that you're going to go through some situations and some struggles and some things that just don't, it just don't feel right, God. What's happening here? And you can feel as though you have done everything that God has asked you to do. You heard the voice of God. He spoke to you, and you were obedient to his instructions. But now chaos and disaster has hit. Look at Elijah. After he slain all the false prophets, the prophets of Baal, as God had commanded, that when he heard that Jezebel wanted him dead, he became deeply afraid. Now, you look back a chapter or two, he was out there mocking the prophets of Baal. Remember, they both got the altars, Elijah, and then he had the prophets of Baal. Let's get the bullets. Let's cut them up. Let's put them on the altar. And you pour the water on it. Keep pouring the water. Keep calling them. And he was like, hey, you know, what's going on over there? Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he just can't hear you right now. He's doing something. He was having himself a good time. And then it was time for him to let God show out, right? It was basically a contest between God's prophet and between our God, our great God, Yahweh, and between the little so-called God, Baal. And now it's come to this point that Jezebel has heard that Elijah has killed the false prophet. And so in 1 Kings 19, it says that Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. In other versions, it says ran for his life. That's what went for his life means. He ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, thou hear, Elijah. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out, stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said unto him, "Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel." And Elisha, the son of Japhet of, hallelujah, help me, Lord, Abel Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. Now, because of this fear, he began to doubt himself, right? Excuse me. Amen. That last part, not kissed him, was the last part of the scripture. Now, Elijah had let his fear come into play. And when it did, it caused him to doubt himself. He began to compare himself to his ancestors, thinking that he was less than, and he just wanted God to take his life and let him die. And don't we do that sometimes, thinking, oh, my God, we done got so fearful, and certain things have taken place, and things are going not, you know, according to plan. It looks like the thing that we were trying to do for the glory of God, it turned back on us, and it's causing, I'm trying to bring something. And it's causing chaos and confusion. And now we let our fear get into place. And now we're doubting who we are and who it is that we're serving, kind of like what Peter went through with Jesus. And he's like, you know what? I'm not even worthy. I'm not even worthy to do what God has called me to do. Forgetting all about the great things that he has done, that God has used him in. Then on top of that, he forgot. He said, "I only." But if you look over in, I think it's 18, chapter 18, he was talking to Obadiah. When he was telling Obadiah, "Hey, go tell Ahab that I'm here." And that, to me, that was a funny conversation, because Obadiah was like, "Wait a minute now, hold up. What'd I do to you? You know, if I go and tell Ahab that you're here, and then God picks you up and takes you someplace else, that man gonna kill me. Have you not heard the good things that I did? Look, there was there's 100 prophets, right? I'm paraphrasing. I got 100 prophets, and I was able to save them and put them in caves by 50. Man, I even brought them some water and some bread, and you telling me to go? That itself can kill me. And you telling me to go and tell this man that you're here? Is you mad?" With all of this that Obadiah had told him about, there was 100 prophets. Well, that means now there's at least 101 you know about. There's 100 over there and you. So it's not just you by yourself. But when fear takes over, when fear and doubt comes in, it kind of makes you feel like, I'm the only one going through this. I'm the only one that's got it this bad. Ain't nobody got it as bad as I do. And you start questioning and trying to figure out. And before you know it, like I said, you get into a place of doubt. And he got to a point where he was so doubtful that he just like, "God, you know, you can just go ahead and just kill me right here. Just let me die. Matter of fact, I'm going to lay down and go to sleep." He probably wasn't thinking he was going to wake up. But then the angel of the Lord came and touched him and said, "Eat." Now, there's a couple things that I noticed in this passage. One, Elijah fled to the wilderness because he was fearful. But Jesus was led to the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, Matthew 4, 1 through 11. They both had a visitor. Elijah was visited by an angel, and the angel said to him to eat. The angel of the Lord prepared him some bread and some water to strengthen him for his journey. That's going to take him 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus, however, was visited by the enemy after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. And then Jesus found himself hungry, and the enemy shows up and says, you know what, turn these stones into bread. But Jesus answered and said, it's written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And after Jesus resisted the enemy from all his temptations, the angel of the Lord came and attended to him. Another thing that I noticed in this is that we hear when you get down to the end of the reading in, oh, Lord, I just forgot the name of the reading. First Kings 19, where God tells him to go by way of Damascus. Well, we know when Jesus called Saul to Paul, he was on the road on Damascus. I looked at that as that was like on the road of repentance. That's where he got his calling. And I believe Elijah was already called, but then at the same time, he said, go find Elisha and Jehu. So I'm looking at that, and I'm going, okay, greater plan. It was a greater plan. This wasn't the time now to die. This is the time now to press forward. Yes, it's hard times and things are bad, but there's even greater work that has to be done, and there's other people that you got to come in connection with. Because there's other people that has to be anointed, other people that's got to be mentored. There's other people that's got to be raised up through your ministry, through the things that the seeds that you give out, hallelujah. And that's going to take place, not saying that there's not a ram in the bush, but God's got it ordained that it's got to come through you. So this ain't the time now to lay down and die. Praise God. And also, are you fleeing because of fear and doubt, or are you being led by the Holy Spirit? And if I'm going past my 30 minutes, please let me know. If you're being led by the Holy Spirit because of your faith in God, because you got these two people, they both ended up in the desert. But like I said, one was fleeing, and the other one was led. The other thing is that God had asked Elijah, what dost thou hear, Elijah, in verse 10. And then God had to ask him again. And both times, Elijah repeats the very same thing, word for word, as if God didn't hear him the first time. And I believe that when God asked him, now that's just me, when God asked him the second time, I believe he kind of bold and italicized those words. What dost thou hear, Elijah? What are you doing here? There's more to do. You can't stay in the cave. There's greater work that has to take place. So I believe God was stressing on those words, doing here. And Elijah was pretty much, ask me again, and I'll tell you the same. I'm all alone. No one else is left to serve you. And now they're trying to kill me. Earlier you wanted to die. But, you know, right now you're telling God they want to kill me. The enemy loves to make us feel like we're the only ones going through a trial or it's so much harder than others, as I stated earlier. And sometimes hard times do come due to the decisions and the choices that we make in life. And sometimes, you know, life just happens. It's not the enemy that did it or the choices that you made. Life happens. Death is a part of life. Having to get up and go to work every day. I mean, unless you're a millionaire, it's a part of life. Changing careers in what feels like the middle of your life, you know, it's a part of life. Gone are the days of really being on a job, you know, 20, 30, and 40 years, and knowing you're going to, well, hopefully not 40, but 20 and 30 years, and knowing you're going to collect a nice little pension you know, you stay on that job. There's few of those left, for what I understand, but it's not that many anymore. And so now you got a particular career path that you were going on, but then now life changes, technology changes, and so now you got to get into something else. Like in our case now, COVID, so many people are having to change their careers because the economy has changed. Having your heart broken by someone that you love, that's also a part of life. You know, sometimes the enemy tries to mess with our heads and make us think, oh, my goodness, I must have picked the wrong spouse. I must have picked, you know, I chose the wrong one. She could have been the best partner in the world at the time. But then things were allowed to get in the way. And I stress the word allowed, because there's some things that you can do and change and make the marriage still work. But if you allow things to get in the way, now you're the opposite of what partnership is. And yet in all of that, God still gets the glory, and he will still provide, and he will still restore. Job 1:13-22, Job was hit on all sides at once. He was hit with the money. He was hit against his family. He was hit against health. He was hit against his friends. He was hit even in love. And the word of God says, and while one was yet talking, while he was yet talking, and while he was yet talking, there was just bad news upon bad news upon bad news upon bad. Now, you talk about hard times. That was a hard time. Through it all, Job still stayed faithful. And when he made it through, when he stuck through it, when he didn't waver, when he determined and purposed in his mind, God turned around and restored him 7 times what he lost, because he stayed resolute. Joel 2:25 says, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, and the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the pommel worm, and my great army which I sent among you. And I think I'm running out of my time now. Matthew 11:28-30, I'm getting ready to close it out. Going back to, it's not all roses. It's not going to always be easy in this walk. Life sometimes happens. But the main thing is that God is still faithful. Are you faithful to him? And he said, you know, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So that in itself told us, okay, look, you know, you think burden, that means it's a heavy load, right? It's not easy. It's not like you're carrying a piece of pot. You got a sack on your back. And he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you're not going to walk through the roses and the tulips and all that good stuff. You're going to go through some things. He told us, he said, the enemy seeks to, he's roaming, seeking to devour you. He's roaming like a roaring lion, seeking to devour you. But God is there. Jesus is there. He's also said in another scripture that he will lift up a standard against them. But you have to keep the faith and not waver and not move, that you're going to go through some hard places. You're going to be going through some hard times at times. But stay faithful, even in those hard times. And there's going to be times where God is going to move in one way, or he may move one way, and it seems like all the time. He constantly moves the same way. And then all of a sudden, he switches it up on you. But that goes back to what Minister Ely was saying about being able to hear his voice and being able to listen. Because he may move differently the next time. With Peter, twice, the prison doors opened. The first time they opened, he was able to walk right on through. The second time the doors opened, the guy gave it to him in silence, stay right there. Don't move. So there are times that things are going to be different. And in Kings, he was trying to teach us the same way, that sometimes he may come through the fire, but then there may be other times he's going to come through a still, small voice. So during those times, during these hard times, especially like what we're having today, we got to keep the faith. We have to stay faithful. Let's not fall and falter. Definitely let's not become Jezebel. Because, you know, God got so upset with her for killing him that She got ate up with the dog, like the dogs. I mean, the dogs ate her. So let's keep our faith, and I thank and praise God for the word of God. I think I just got my cue. Y'all, thank you for this time, and may God bless you all richly. Amen.
I tell you, God know how to fill you up. Praise the Lord. Thanking God. It's been a rich ride. Amen. Thank God for now for prophetess Clifton. Praise God, anointed vessel of the Lord. Pray God just let her flow. As I said, her apostle is Pastor Barbara Daney.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. If we could just give God a praise on tonight, for truly
thank
he is worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. I just thank God for who he is in my life. I just thank God for everything that he's done up to this point. And I just want to tell you, Lord, I love you and I thank you, for without you, Lord God, I'm nothing. I just thank God for each and every person represented on this line tonight. I thank God for the officiator, the organizer of this wonderful ministry, Pastor V.J. Hubbard. I thank God for you. I thank God for my pastor, who I believe is on here, Apostle Barbara Daney of End Time Harvest Church out of Manning, South Carolina. I actually bring you greetings from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm here in Charlotte, but our ministry is out of Manning, South Carolina. But I truly thank God for having this opportunity to come and be amongst this great platform tonight. I thank God for the ministers that have already gone before, Evangelist Ely, Prophetess Anoum. I thank God for you, all the other ministers here on the line in their respective places. And I also just truly thank God for my husband. I thank God for my two children on tonight. God is good, y'all. I just tell you, I don't know where I would be without him. Boy, I'm telling you, he has brought me from a mighty long way. And I just thank him on tonight, for he brought me and my family this past couple weeks, starting around the holidays. My son was positive. He tested positive with COVID. Half of his basketball team got it, and you know, didn't know how things were going to turn out for him. But glory be to God, the Lord just worked in a miraculous way that he really didn't have much symptoms or anything. And to be honest with you, I think he just had a good time of isolation, of being in his room and doing the things that he loves to do, playing his games and things like that. But we know it could have been a different way. And then just here about a week ago, my husband and I, we both were tested positive for COVID. And I just know that God is a healer, and I know that he will take care of you. Even when the enemy tries to put fear and doubt and things in your mind, just know that if you keep your hand in his hand, oh, he will take care of you. And he brought us through it. And I just thank God, because it could have been a whole lot worse. But he let both of us not even have too many symptoms ourselves, and just allowed our bodies to rest and to heal. And he kept a hedge of protection around my daughter. She's the only one in the house that did not get it, and we're believing that she won't get it. But I just thank God on tonight for who he is. He is truly, truly good. But the goal is not to be before you long. I just want to get in and get out and do what thus says the Lord, but I definitely want to give him space to do whatever he wants to do. So tonight, I'm sticking with the theme here of consequences versus blessings, do's and don'ts, and my topic is obedience. So consequences versus blessings, do's and don'ts of obedience. And I will come from 2 Timothy 7. For those of you that have your word, your Bibles with you, 2 Timothy 7, and it reads, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." And if I were going to use another subtitle, it would be, You were born to do this. You were born to do this. If you would just go with me into a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come humbly as I know how, Father God, asking you to please, Lord God, Lord, continue to bless this ministry, Lord God, and all the word that you've spoken so far this afternoon, Lord God. Father, I just ask, Lord God, that you, Lord, decrease Tarsha, Lord God, and increase your word in you and me, Lord. Lord, for I open my mouth, and, Lord, I believe, Lord, that you will speak through me, Lord God. And I ask you, Father God, that you put your fire, your coal upon my lips, Lord God, to let me speak, Lord, that which you have to be spoken, Lord God. None of me, but all of you, Father. And, Lord, I just ask that your word, Lord, penetrate the souls and hearts of your people, Lord God, not to be just hearers of the word, Lord God, but to be doers of the Lord, Lord God. And, Lord, we ask right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your spirit, Lord, reign among this line, Lord God. Lord, we're not physically together, but, Lord, in spirit, Lord, we come together, Lord, where you say, well, there's two or more, Lord God, together, Lord, in agreement. Lord, Father, you are here in the midst of us. And, Lord, I just thank you, Father, for your spirit, Lord God, that it will rule, Lord, over the service tonight. Lord, I thank you, and I give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So, again, my topic tonight is obedience. And as most of you know what obedience is, and to be honest with you, my sisters, they lay such a strong foundation. There's a lot of things that I don't even have to explain because they've already done it. And I just want to briefly discuss obedience. As we know, it's complying. It's doing what we're ordered to do. The dictionary defines it as complying or willing to comply with orders or requests, submissive to another's will. And in this case, I'm talking about obedience to God, to our Father. Is what I'm specifically speaking on tonight. Thank the Lord. I wanted to talk about obedience and from three individuals in the Word. Of course, we know of different stories from time and time in the Word that we've all heard from Abraham and his obedience and Noah, his obedience, and so many of them in the Word that were faced with things that the Lord told them to do, and they did it. But I believe tonight that the Lord wanted me to speak on three individuals, two with the same name, believe it or not, but different things that they did. And I just wanted to talk about the do's and the don'ts of obedience. So I won't read the whole scripture, but just kind of paraphrasing a little bit, Nehemiah, the sixth chapter. And most of you probably, you know, already know the story. And, again, I'm just going to paraphrase. But basically, Nehemiah was a leader who was given a burden, if you will. He was summoned to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, that the Lord had told him to do this. And so, therefore, he took it upon himself and was focused in doing what he believed that God called him to do. And while he was doing this, building this wall, which was to protect, you know, the people from the enemies that were trying to get to them, he was faced with so many distractions. There were so many individuals that tried to intimidate him, that fear that I mentioned earlier, but they were really just trying to get him to get off course of what God called him to do. So they would come and call for him to come speak with them and all of these things. And basically he said, no, I'm not coming. You're not going to stop the work that I'm doing right now. So he was really focused. And all of these obstacles, you know, things after one thing after another, you know, people just trying to get him off course. But he said, no, I'm doing this, what God called me to do, and I'm going to get this wall finished. And we know that in our walk with God, even when the Lord has called us to do something, either ministry or whatever the case may be, we know that, you know, people, and it's the works of the enemy who tries to come and distract you and try to intimidate you and try to get you off your course. But like Nehemiah, you know, he stayed focused and said, no, I'm not going to let you try to call me away from what I'm supposed to be doing. I got to do this work. I got to continue to stay on this wall and do what God has called me to do. But as the story goes on, we know that they were able to complete the wall, and the people saw that how God had used him to accomplish his work. So in this one particular scenario, it just shows that if you stay the course and you do what God has called you to do, that he will be with you even when the naysayers come around, even when the ones who try to come and get you off your course, who's talking, who's doing things or trying to, you know, throw rocks and stuff at you. He says, stay the course, and I'll make sure that what I've called you to do is done, and it will be good. And that was the case with Nehemiah. But then there's another person, and again, these are two people with the same name, but this first Ananias in the Acts chapter 5, and I know you all know the story. You've heard it so many times before, and I'm just going to paraphrase it here. But we know that the believers in that time, they were coming together to share their possessions. And Ananias was supposed to sell his land, him and his wife. But instead of him and his wife being obedient and doing what they said that they were going to do and what they were summoned to do, like all the other people were doing, which was to sell their land and present it to the apostles' feet, Ananias took it upon himself that he wanted to kind of do his own thing and not follow suit and be obedient in what he was called to do. He figured that he would just give a portion of the funds that he was supposed to give everything, but he kept back a little bit for himself, for him and his wife, and being deceitful in that, you know, Peter called him out on it, and Peter said, you know, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have lied to men, but to God. You have not lied to men, but to God. And when Ananias heard that, he fell down on the ground and died. He fell out on the ground and died. And that's what we're talking about, consequences. Consequences versus blessings. Now, with Nehemiah, the blessings were given because he completed what God had called him to do. He did the wall, and it was, everything was good. But when Ananias was supposed to do what he was supposed to do, he didn't. He tried to be deceitful. He tried to twist and turn and make things work for his own benefit. But that's not what the goal was. That wasn't what he was requested to do. He was supposed to sell all of his land, but he decided that he wanted to keep back a little bit for himself. And as we can see that the enemy will set you up. The enemy will set you up to feel that I can do a little piece of what I'm supposed to do, but if I just don't, you know, do this in the complete way, then everything will be okay. But no, how about Ananias was found out, and his consequence was death. He died right then and there on the ground, died because of his sinful nature, and as well as his wife that came right behind him, saying the same different thing that they had planned to do, and she died as well. But these are consequences of being disobedient. And so this brings my third person that I wanted to bring up, another Ananias, in Acts 9. And this Ananias was sent by the Lord to go to Saul at that time. In Damascus, Ananias was called in a vision by the Lord. And he told him, he said, go to the house of Judah on the straight street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's going to be praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias is going to come to him and place his hands on him to restore his sight. And don't you know, when the Lord spoke that to Ananias, he was reluctant. He didn't want to do what God wanted to do. He started kind of pleading with him, you know what this man has done. You heard all the reports about how he harmed the people and how he's done the saints and stuff in Jerusalem. Come on, is it something that you want me to do? And the Lord said, go. He told Ananias to go. Now, Ananias could have said, and like some of us, even myself, oh, I'm not sure if that was the voice of the Lord. I'm going to go back down on this again, or I might need to pray fast and make sure that this is what you're saying. But no, he went. He did what thus said the Lord. And when he got there, he went into that house, and he placed his hands, like the Lord told him to do. He placed his hands on Saul. And he said, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me to you that you may see again and that you may be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like the scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. And then he was baptized. He was baptized at that moment in time. And as we all know, the story goes on with Saul and how his name was changed to Paul. He had a mighty, mighty ministry. But this is just an example of the consequences versus blessings, how Ananias did what God, even though he was reluctant and he didn't want to do what God called him to do, but because he did it, look at the benefits of what came out of Paul and his ministry. Well, just that simple act of obedience at that point in time. So I don't want to go too deep into this, but I just want to say to you all tonight, no matter how big or small the task or thing that God tells you to do, it is better to be obedient. We know that fear can grasp us to make us feel that, oh, you're not hearing from God, or you go do that and you're going to fall on your face, or this is not something that you're supposed to. Whatever the case may be, we know that the enemy tries to put all kinds of things in your mind, and his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's to steal, kill, and destroy the dreams, the visions, the whatever that God has given you. Stay on course. Don't let selfishness is another thing that we could be concerned about, how it's going to make us look, how it's going to make me look if I do this. People will think I'm crazy, or I bet not go that way. You know, people will do this. People will do that. Thinking about what people think instead of what God is saying. We got to be more concerned about how the outcome of what God is wanting to do in our lives and what we are concerned about, what that outcome should look like. Because at the end of the day, all the glory belongs to the Lord. He's the one in control. There is nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can say when it comes down to whatever he wants to do in our lives. He has the last say-so, but the thing about it, he gives us options. He doesn't force himself on us. And that's the kind of God that we serve. He gives us the option, and he hopes that we would do what he calls us to do, but we have to make sure that we're staying close to him, to know that we're on the right path and that he is directing and guiding our footsteps. He's in control. And even if we do hear from him, or if we thought we heard from him and we do something and we say, oh, my goodness, that didn't turn out the way that I thought it was. I must have missed God. But believe it or not, and I truly believe this in my soul, that when if God gave you something and if you felt like you missed it, I believe he's still there to say that his grace is with you and that everything's going to turn out right anyway, because we all know, and the scripture even says it, what the enemy means for harm, God will turn it around for our good. Thank you, Jesus. And so I just want to, you know, tell you all tonight, let's just do what we're supposed to do and what God is calling us to do in obedience to him. Our prayer should be not what can you do for me, Lord, but what can I do for you? What is your will for my life? And sometimes that could be a very, very scary thing to say, because at the end of the day, we still want control in some kind of matter, but our control is in God's hands. Whatever he wants for our lives is what we should be wanting, because what he wants for us is way better than what we could ever think or imagine. So, Lord, what is your will for my life? I was praying the other morning, and I heard just as clear, and it kind of threw me off a little bit because I didn't know. It was just how it came across, but it came so clear to me, and I heard it. It said, spiritual abduction. And I was just like, I don't know what that means. And so I sat there and I was like, well, Lord, what is that? Where is that coming from? I don't understand what that's saying. But what came to me is that, as you all know, and it's so funny too, I'm sorry, I'm kind of going off on the side here a little bit, but this past yesterday I was here at home and I was watching Lifetime, and my husband gets on me about Lifetime, but I like Lifetime sometimes. It's not something too crazy on, but some of the shows they were showing was about true stories, based on true stories of, children being abducted and things of that nature, all of these evil things that happens around us. And I was watching that, and as I was watching it, it just kind of brought a revelation spirit to me about that spiritual abduction. And what it is that right now in the body of Christ, there are people out there who are thinking they're with God. They think they're walking with God. They think that they are with him and they are on one accord with him. But honestly, the enemy has came in and taken them from the place that they're supposed to be in. So basically, they think they're with God and doing what they're supposed to do, but the enemy has taken them from their place. And now they've been abducted. They're no longer with the Father. They're not no longer walking in the Spirit of Christ. But now they're walking outside of his will because they've gotten so far from him. And the enemy then came in and abducted them from God. Jesus. He's abducted them from God. And that thing just kind of did something to my spirit the other day. And I was just started praying. And I said, oh, Lord, if it's me, Father, please show me. But whatever it is, or whatever you're speaking, or let this not be. Let people make sure that we're where we're supposed to be, and we're in you, and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing for you, and not being spiritually abducted, taken away from you and not even knowing it. Thing I want to say today as I come to a close, learn to be obedient. We know that we serve a God that will never fail us. He will never fail us. And there is no, and the thing about it, even with the consequences that we face, just know that there is not a consequence that God can't handle. He can handle every single consequence, whatever it is. He can handle it. There's nothing too hard for him. We can't lose when we're with God. We just got to trust him, y'all. We have to trust him, especially in this day and this time that we're living in. We got to trust him and believe whatever he's calling us to do, even if it doesn't feel like something that we should be doing. It may seem strange. It may seem weird, whatever it is. Trust the Lord and walk out and do it. And I'm talking to myself, too. Like my mom always say, it hits you first. Whenever you're preaching or teaching, it's going to hit you first. And it's hitting me first. So be obedient. Even when I feel like, Lord, this is something that I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if this is what you're calling for me at this time. No, trust him. And when you take one step, he'll take two for you. Just trust him and step out on his word and believe him. He will never leave you or forsake you. And the only thing that the enemy wants to do is try to make you feel like this is not what you're supposed to be doing. He's trying to abduct you spiritually, take you away from where you're supposed to be. Jesus, don't let him do it in the name of Jesus. Be where you're supposed to be so that the Lord can use you in this time, Lord. He's calling his church out right now in this time to be where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be on our post waiting for our next assignment, like the angels, how they sit and wait for their next assignment. That's how we're supposed to be. Lord, what's my next assignment? Hallelujah. But the enemy wants to put fear in us. He wants to make us be intimidated, try, like how Nehemiah tried to intimidate, try to make you get off course. But I heard a minister say, faith pleases God, but fear pleases the devil. Faith pleases God, but fear pleases the devil. And I don't want to please the devil. I don't want to please him. And I hope you don't want to please him either. So I just ask for you tonight to really just pray and ask the Lord, whatever it is, that could be, you know, walking in disobedience at this time, whatever, he'll reveal it. And he'll also reveal whatever that he wants to do in your life. And just ask him to give you the strength to be obedient and to do what he's called you to do. Because remember, whatever he's called you to do, you were born to do it. I thank God, and I thank you all for allowing me to come speak to you briefly tonight. Please pray my strength in the Lord.
Marvelous. God has really blessed and moved tremendously in these women of God, and I pray, God, that you'll bless them, strengthen them, encourage them, cover them under the blood. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come on. Help them to be continue steadfast in the faith, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to get ready to open the lines. We'll take a couple of prayer requests, and then we're going to do remarks. God has been so wonderful through this word. I'm just talking just a little bit because I have so many tonight. We have about 27 people online, so give me a moment to open the lines. And we just thank God, glory to God, for the power of his word tonight. It's been marvelous, wonderful. Each vessel that spoke consequences versus blessings, and they were so powerful in their delivery. And bless the Lord, glory to God, from the do's and the don'ts and being obedient. We bless God and also for the hearing and having faith. Praise God. And this is something we need to walk in daily. In Jesus' name, I'm almost there. Praise God. I am so proud of all of you. I just thank God, glory to God, regardless of the circumstances and the situations that are coming against you all and in the preparation, everything God has proven himself. And Pastor Bird has just said the prophet, even tonight, God was going to bless you on the atmosphere. I've been leaving God from the beginning when God even said that you all were going to come on. And so it's just confirmation and manifestation now tonight. Praise the Lord. The lines are open. If there are a couple of prayer requests that we can take, then after that we're going to allow Prophet Bird, Apostle Danny, Pastor Burden, if she's on the line, we pray continue to strengthen and touch her body too as well, because she didn't have an impact on her body, but God is still faithful and she's faithful to him. But in the meantime, any prayer requests? God, thank you all. So
good evening.
I have.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was somebody else speaking?
Say it again.
Yeah.
Go ahead, my dear.
I wasn't sure if so. Okay, to God be the glory. I just asking, I just saw a text from my Sorod, one of my Sorod's father is being rushed to the hospital as we speak by ambulance. So the last, her name is Whitaker, W-I-C-K-E-R. And so I'm not sure what the father's name. I just saw the post in our little chat. So if you can keep that family in prayer. And then I spoke to my cousin this evening. She just found out that she already was going through some major health issues that she was trying to work through. She got tested positive with COVID, and so she's going through with her body. My cousin Selena out of Winston-Salem. And then I have several people at my church. One of the elders, the Moulton family, he has underlying health issues that he's dealing with. Their family's dealing with COVID, and he's having some major challenges. And the one of our minister's husband, Chad Steele, he just got, I guess, diagnosed with vertigo, and he's going through with his body concerning that. And as always, please keep our family in prayer that we're going through some major challenges, but God is still on the throne. And so just asking you all to keep us listed. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. That was quite a bit. So we're going to go ahead and hit take that one right there so it won't be lost in the shuffle. So Minister Tasha or Minister Alicia, whichever one of you all can take that one. I'm not quite sure if you caught everything as her friend Whitaker or Saraz or whatever. Associate. Her father's being rushed to the hospital right now, and then you have a cousin tested with positive, and then you have two other people that's from the church that have mental, I mean, that have health problems. So either one of y'all can take that real quick.
Okay, that's the Molden family. Who was the other one?
Whitaker. And then the cousin test positive, Winston-Salem, and just the other two church members that have health problems. We'll have to kind of link that together.
Okay. Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we come before you now. First, Father, if you touch the Whitaker family as they're going through right now for the father that is being rushed to the hospital. God, we speak healing. We speak deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, whatever the situation is, whatever the issue is, God, I pray, God, that that he will be able, first off, to be seen in the name of Jesus. And, Lord God, that you will be no misdiagnosis or prognosis with whatever is going on with him in the name of Jesus. And we speak healing right now. We speak peace and calmness, God, to him and the family, Lord God, as they're going through this time in the name of Jesus. And, Lord God, we're praying, God, that they continue to lean on you. And if they're not believers, God, we're praying, God, that you will bring them closer to you. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we pray, God, for the Molden family right now, God, as they're going through, God, with COVID and their family. We speak a blood covering over them in the name of Jesus. We speak healing and deliverance. Lord God, even as we know that there are some things that go on with COVID, but, God, you are greater than COVID in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, I pray, God, that they won't have any issues, complications or problems or any long-haul issues, the same, God, with I believe the name is Sarita, but mainly God, Carmelita's cousin in Winston-Salem. And I pray, God, for blood covering for the rest of the family, in the name of Jesus, God, that it won't be contagious, God, for them as well. And the other two church members, God, whatever their situation may be right now, things going on in their body, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you will heal and deliver and set free. I know with someone, God, that that's already having other health issues and now being inflicted with COVID, I pray, God, for one peace to her mind now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we pray, God, that you will heal and deliver her as well in the name of Jesus, God, that COVID will not cause any extra issues or problems, God, with whatever she's going through in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, that this, that for all of these families, God, that are going through, God, there will be a speedy recovery in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord God, for even others, God, that are on the phone, God, that may be going through some of the same things. We pray, God, for healing and deliverance, speedy recovery, peace to their minds, in the name of Jesus. And we commit them to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we pray for Carmelita's family, too, as well. As she said, keep them lifted up, God. We thank you for the prayers that's already gone forth, for directions, and thank you for healing, encouragement. Thank you for the wisdom and whatever discernment need in a decision-making. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the divine healing. Praise God. Anyone else with prayer requests?
Yes, ma'am, I do, Pastor Sims. Youngest son is having surgery on Thursday, on hip surgery, and I've asked for prayer for him. His name is Devon. And we have a friend of my son who's in the hospital said to be dying with cancer. His name is Frank. And my supervisor, Ms. Donald, has COVID, not doing too well, and her mother, who she cares for, is almost 100 years old. She is, I believe she said she had come down with it too. So we ask for prayers for Devon, for Frank, and Ms. Donald.
Thank you, Ms. Donald. Sister Minister Tasha?
Yes. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we bring to you right now, God, standing in the gap for our brother Devon, Lord God, for his hip surgery that's coming up, Lord God. Father, we ask that you, Lord, let everything go well with his surgery, Lord God. Father, Lord, we ask right now that you, Lord, send forth your ministering angels, Lord, to be amongst him as he goes into surgery, Lord God, that your peace, Lord, would be over him right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we ask that you touch the doctor's hands, Lord God. Lord, be with whomever that's going to be a part of this surgery, Lord, from the nurses to the doctors to whoever, Lord God, that you would lead and guide them and, Lord, touch their hands, Lord God, that they will be anointed to do what you've called them to do, Lord God. And Father, we just ask that everything goes smoothly, Lord God, Lord, that there won't be any additional effects from it, Lord God, and that he will, Lord, come out, Lord, feeling good, and his recovery will be fast in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we just ask right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that everything goes well, Lord God. We ask that you touch him from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, Lord God, and Lord, let him know that you're with him, Father God, and Lord, that you will bring him through this in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we ask that you touch Frank right now, Lord God. Father, we speak to his body right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we call for healing upon his body. We speak to the cancer that it will dry up and go back to the dead place where it belongs in the name of Jesus. We call for healing right now, for by your stripes, Lord God, he is healed. And Father, we ask right now, Lord, that you touch him, Lord, touch his mind, touch his spirit, Lord, that your angels will minister to him right now wherever he is, Lord God, that he will come out of this, Lord God, and be able to tell of your goodness, Lord God, of how you healed him and set him free. Father God, we pray right now, Lord, we send the blessings, Lord, over to him wherever he may be right now, Lord God, that cancer will go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask right now, Lord, that you touch, Lord, Miss Donna and her mother, Lord God. Father, we ask that you touch them, Lord, and heal their bodies, Lord God, for wherever COVID is, Lord God. You're greater than COVID, Lord God. You're greater than COVID, Lord God. And Father, we ask right now, Lord, that you touch and heal right now in the name of Jesus. And we call forth right now that their bodies be healed under the mighty name of Jesus. And we ask right now, Lord, that they don't have any side effects, no long haul effects, Lord, from this thing, Lord God, but that you will heal it and that it will not cause any problems in the future right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We plead the blood of Jesus over these individuals. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Praise God. If there's not any more prayer requests.
I have one, please. For Angela Burgess, she's about to go in for surgery for kidney stones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then. Carmelita, you still on the line? Minister Carmelita? Are you still there?
Say it again. I'm sorry.
Prophet, is Angela Anoum going into surgery for kidney stones? And also
no,
pray for
what?
Your.
You said for Angela going to surgery?
Yeah, Burgess, her
yes.
Her dad's wife.
Oh,
and also
oh,
pray
okay,
for
okay.
Anthony for his vote.
Yes.
Okay. So take those questions.
Okay, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come before you right now. It's humbling to know how to give you thanks and praise, for this is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God, I ask you right now to pray right now for my sister's mother of love, God, right now, Angela, in the name of Jesus, her father's husband, I mean wife, that's getting ready to have surgery, God. You know everything, every hair of her head, every part of her body. God, we're praying right now that you touch the surgeons, the nurses, everybody who has connected, the anesthesiologist, that everything will go in manner as it's supposed to, God. There will be no problems, no complications, God. She will come out successful. She won't go out that come out that hospital with anything she went in. God, in the name of Jesus, we praying that for her husband, God, in the name of Jesus, for him to be able to be calm and have peace, that knowing that his wife will be well when she comes out. Lord, we also pray for my Uncle Anthony, God, Lord, out of Florida. Lord, that he has to have surgery tomorrow morning, God. We're praying for him and his wife, Carmen, as they prepare for this surgery, that there'll be no issues or no problems, God. We pray for the anesthesiologist. We pray for those who are using the mechanics that's going into his rotator cuff, that, God, everything will be well. His healing process will be well. And, God, we're just believing you all names that may have not even been called that's dealing with surgeries, that's dealing with major health issues tonight, that, God, we lift them up because you are healing, God. And you said by your stripes, we are healed. So we believe you, we trust you, we honor you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Bless the Lord. At this time, we're going to hear from Pastor Danny. Oh, well, let me find out what Prophetess Bird have anything for the body. I want to say anything for Pastor Danny. Prophetess Bird, are you still there?
Yes, and praise God. We give honor to God tonight. And what a word, the word. Everything just lined it up with consequences versus blessings. And as they were speaking, God said this to me. God said, and this is for the body. And God wants us to hear. Because in order for us to obey God and do what God say, it means that we must listen for his voice and trust what he's saying. Trust what he's saying is very important. And he gave me this word. He said, too many voices. You are hearing too many voices. He says, it's all right to receive counsel, because there is safety in counsel. But there are times when we need to fall on our knees and pray and hear the voice of God, get our instructions from God. And he said every other voice must fall in line with what God is saying to you. So it's important for this time like never before to hear God. When problems come, do you run to your knees or do you run to the phone? The first thing you need to do is pray. And every other voice that you hear needs to line up with what God is saying to you. Because that's what's causing us sometimes for the consequences that come because we didn't listen to God. And so I just want to say that was what I was hearing as each of you was speaking. It was a powerful word tonight. I'm so proud of all three of you for the word that you brought forth with power and the anointing. And I just want to say thank God for you. Thank God for your obedience. Love you.
Praise the Lord. Before the Pastor Danny speak, common leader just called and said Pastor Overseer McGuire was on the phone and didn't get through about eye surgery for Dr. McGuire tomorrow. Are you there still yet, Pastor, or you already left?
I am here. I just can't be heard. Hello?
Okay, the line is open now. It got missed. I'm so sorry. I tried. There's so many people on the line. It was a call that got missed. Could you? Okay.
Okay. Praise the Lord, everybody. God bless you. I've certainly enjoyed all of the speakers tonight, and I wanted to ask for prayer for my husband, who's having eye surgery on Tuesday. So I'm asking for prayer for him. And also one of the elders of our church, Elder George Moulton, asking if you would pray for him. He is very ill from COVID. And asking for your prayers for him. And I just wanted to say, as I'm getting off before the next speaker comes on, I'm so very proud of my spiritual daughter, Minister Carmelita. Excellent, excellent word, as well as the other speakers. But she's kind of special to me. I wanted to say that on the line. God bless you all.
Well, praise God. We're just taking doing remarks now, so we thank God for that. So all the speakers have already spoken, but it's a pleasure to have
yes.
you on tonight, and we thank God we will be keeping him all the way up to the time he has his surgery and out, so we'll keep that before the Lord. So Pastor Prophet Isbert, would you take that prayer request real quick for Overseer McGuire for her husband, Dr. McGuire, for eye surgery, and also Elder George.
Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise, honor, glory, and thanks. We thank you, God, that you're in charge of everything. We thank you, God, that you know all things. And we thank you, Father God, that you've already prepared him for this time that's coming. We are thanking you for his healing, God, in the name of Jesus. We are thanking you for the doctors and the nurses, God, that's already in place. We come against mistakes, accidents, or any other thing that would try to occur during this time. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that blood covering. We thank you for your protection. And by your stripes, he is already healed. And we just want to thank you for that now, God.
In
Jesus' name. And God, your name is above every name that's named in heaven and in earth. And that includes COVID-19. Nothing is too hard for you. And we call COVID subject to you right now in Jesus' name as we speak for the elders of the church and those that have been affected by this COVID. God, I pray now. In Jesus' name, that you will begin to intervene in that situation. I thank you, Father God, that they will be healed and whole. We come against all the complications that come with that now. In Jesus' name, it will not be a part of their process, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. So we'll believe you, God, Jehovah Rapha, you all heal us. You already sent your word to heal us. We call them healed and whole now in Jesus' name, and we thank
you. Amen.
Praise God. Okay, Apostle Danny, praise the Lord. Any remarks you have?
Amen. Praise the Lord. My God, I tell you, God is speaking loud and clear.
Amen.
And are we listening? My God, I'll tell you. Minister Carmelita, she was talking about hear God, and that's what he wants us to hear him, but not only hear him, but he wants us to do what he says.
Yes.
My God. He's saying, Minister Alicia, she said, keep the faith. And he wants us to trust him no matter what we go through. Keep the faith because he's going to bring us out. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then he came down to obedience. Obey him and do what he says. Follow his instructions. And to sum it all up, praise God, he said, hear him, have faith in him, and obey him, and we will be blessed. So I say to the three of you, you keep preaching, my God, keep preaching and continue to let God use you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise
amen.
God. I don't know whether Pastor Alfonso Burton is on. She may not, she's not been feeling good. She might be gone already. Alfonso Burton, are you there? Okay, we'll take some, anyone else that have a family member or either just anyone that's on the line that just like to give any comments so we can take your remarks now. Okay. If there is none, the lines are open, so if no one has a remark. Okay, well, I was going to tell you to go over to God. There's quite a few on there, but in the meantime, hello? I do want to say thank you again for the Bethel God used tonight. Truly, they did hear from God and did an exceptional job. Thanking God, glory to God, for the move of him, a daily walk we should take, glory to God, and that's Pastor Apostle Danny just summed it up. And we did have about 24 people on the line, so we thank God for those that have stayed on and glory to God, heard the word, and we're praying we'll be hearers and doers and continue to allow the Spirit of the Lord to have free reign in our lives, that we grow and build on these building blocks and so forth, we get stronger. And if there's anything that we have found in error, then help us, glory to God, to let go and not deny and justify and try to find fault in somebody else. But, Lord, it's me. And so this will be a self-inventory time for us to grow and get stronger. With everything that's going on in the cosmos right now, we need, like never before, to get anchored and stay anchored and not allow whatever goes on to cause us to lean to the left or right, to lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily beset us, and run this race. Press in, press forward, and know God has a future and a plan for us. And so I praise God for you two, you three ladies. And I'm like, Pastor, keep preaching, teaching. Don't let nothing, that word that y'all brought tonight, think about it even for your lives as well. Carry on. Don't let nothing stop you from doing what God calls you to do. So I think Carmelita is off the line. So Prophetess Anoum, if you have any remarks, you can take, you can have your remarks now, and also Minister Prophetess Tasha. Afterwards, you can have your remarks, and then we're closing for the night with such an anointing. And anyone that have a desire to meet up with us on Monday nights at 7 every week, we have prayer. Praise God. Praying women and man of God. Anyone, glory to God, that have a desire, you're free to join with us anytime. They're about kingdom business. But in the meantime, Sister Alicia and Sister Sasha, y'all have the floor.
Praise God. I just want to thank God again and give God the glory for having this opportunity to be able to speak with these other two powerful women. I give God the honor and glory for that and the word that I received from them. I thank God for Pastor Hubbard for having this format and this platform to allow us to be able to still be able to receive the word of God during, he was doing this way before COVID, but even more so now, thanking God for it during this time. And just continue to keep us in prayer and keep me I continue to listen and hear what God is speaking and saying in the name of Jesus. And I give God all the honor, the glory, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I just thank God for being able to be a part of this tonight. Thank you so much, Pastor Hubbard. Thank everyone for coming on and for my sisters. Enjoyed the words that you preached tonight. I just thank God for each and every one of you. Let's just continue to glorify and lift up the name of Jesus, for he deserves it all. Especially during this time and season that we're in, we know that we're in the last days, and that he's calling forth his church to be a sounding board, to be a light, to be the salt that he's called us to be. And that's just my desire every single day, is to be more and more of what he wants me to be in these last and evil days. So I just pray for all of you and your families, and I pray that you all have a blessed week, and that the power and the peace of God will rest upon your lives, and that you will have a blessed week. And thanks, everyone, again.
Praise God. Bless the Lord. Evangelist Carmelita, Sister Carmelita, just said she thank everyone, too, as well. She had to get off the line. She's with her family now, with some things, so, but she just said she certainly appreciated, and we thank you for the, also, I know she appreciates the prayers and the support, so she said thanks. And I want to thank you all, too. It's, know that the three of you all, we already have been talking about this for some time, so prepare yourself a little bit some months down the road that the three-night revival, because I was in between this trying to find out whether I should do it, but God gave it to me last year, y'all to do it on the same night. So, but each one of you will have a night a little later on, praise God, get the fullness of what God put in your spirit. It's a few months down the road, but nevertheless, pray as the life lasts, and the Lord said the same. We're going to believe God. So really thank God again for you. Pray blessings to everyone. Pray and thank God for all that came on the line, and thank God, Lord, for the support, and pray God's blessings upon you, as my sister just said, all throughout the week, and those that would join us, we already got, we'll look forward to you coming on Monday night. In the meantime, I want those that know Mother McCormick, to pray for her, because her sister, I think about 10 minutes to 2 this afternoon, when what the daughters had called and said that her speak to her mom, and she was crying a lot because her sister, we were just praying and talking about her last night, but she went on to glory. He said the Lord had put in her spirit this morning that he was going to take her home, but she was not expecting it to happen the same day that he spoke to her. But we thanking the Lord, and even while she was praying and speaking in tongues and glorifying the Lord, and the Lord was given to that he has her in his bosom, and she's home and no more sickness or whatever. Then later in tongues, he was telling her family, God said, get your house in order. Even while she was in her grief, and so God was giving her word for the family. So we just got to just pray and continue to lift her up, because she's always praying for people and praying for families and concerned for others. So let's keep Mother McCormick over to God, lifted up before the Lord. So we thank God for her and all those that have gone through. Continue to keep our sisters and pastors and ministers and others that have so much that's going on and have gone through, and even some of us that have been praying on this line too, all of us have some way or another that has hit the house, but we still got to continue to comfort, and he will strengthen, and he will take us through. But so many other people going through so many other things going on right now too as well. Amen. Lord, that sounds like her sister, her daughter calling now. But in the meantime, you all be blessed and be encouraged. And so long.
Hello.
Shalom, love you.
God bless you. God bless. God bless.
Amen and shalom.
Sure enough. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.